I want to take this opportunity to welcome all of you to Goloka Dham. I'm a guest myself, but I feel it's appropriate at this point to say some words of welcome to those of you who have come. Translation. The demigods and great saintly persons showered flowers in a joyous mood, and clouds gathered in the sky and very mildly thundered, making sounds like those of the ocean's waves. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon. Because Devaki was the same category as Sri Krishna. Purport. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmayarasa Pratibhavita Abhistabhirya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabhi Goloka Eva Nivasatya Kilatma Bhuto Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. This verse indicates that Krishna and his entourage are of the same spiritual potency, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Krishna's father, his mother, his friends, the cowherd boys, and the cows are all expansions of Krishna, as will be explained in the Brahma Vimohana Lila. When Brahma took away Krishna's associates to test the supremacy of Lord Krishna, the Lord expanded himself again in the forms of the many cowherd boys and calves, all of whom, as Brahma saw, were Vishnumurtis. Devaki is also an expansion of Krishna. And therefore this verse says, Devakyam Devarupinyam Vishnu Sarvaguha Shayaha. At the time for the Lord's appearance, the great sages and the demigods, being pleased, began to shower flowers. At the seashore, there was the sound of mild waves, and above the sea there were clouds in the sky which began to thunder very pleasingly. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, before Devaki, who appeared as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared to the rising of the full moon in the sky on the eastern horizon. The objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of the full moon. Right? Wrong. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty wherein the moon is himself, the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition. So, by the grace of Krishna, he could appear as a full moon. To welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the waning moon became a full moon in jubilation. I'll leave the remainder of the purport for another time, or for Sachinanand Swami if he wishes to read from this, but I think he has some other things prepared. I've also made a few notes of some thoughts that I thought to share. And in sort of typical academic style, I also have a thesis statement that I want to make. I want to argue that there are two contrasting moods at the time of Krishna's appearance. What we've just read is the very sweet, very wonderful, harmonious mood at the moment of Krishna's appearance. But we all know that the situation of Krishna's appearance is under a situation of duress. And so my point that I want to make will be that it is, so to say, within the cross current of these two moods, one of perfect harmony and one of tension and stress. It's within the cross current of these two situations that Krishna, of course, appears. And he drowns the residents of Braja in pools of ecstasy. Haribol. Iti driksva lila vir ananda kunde svagoshang nimajantam akyapayantam. The prayer goes. So the residents of Vrindavan we want to remember today. Devaki is not specifically a resident of Vrindavan, but certainly we want to remember her on this day. In the Hari Bhakti Vilasa, I might mention on the side, it's described how to celebrate Janmashtami. One should prepare what in the West would call nativity scene. The Christian tradition is very familiar with this. You set up a kind of, how to call it, a nativity scene, where you have the baby, in the Christian tradition, baby Jesus, and then you have, you know, father, mother, and the three wise people coming, three wise men, and the donkey, and the cow, and so on. And you have all of that, and then you worship in that way. So it's enjoined in Hari Bhakti Vilasa that one makes such an arrangement for baby Krishna. And included in this, it says you can make either three-dimensional or you can have a painting. You make this scene, and in the scene you include, of course, Mother Devaki and Vasudeva. But also, it mentions that Mother Yashoda should be there, and I think it even mentions that Durga Devi should be there. So it's actually a celebration, very much a worship of the ladies, of the mothers. It is a festival of motherhood. And it is said in Hari Bhakti Vilasa that if married ladies wishing to have a child worship Krishna on this day, if they do nice worship of Lord Krishna on this day, then they will have nice child. So if any ladies are in that situation, you can take this into account. Okay, so I'm going to, very briefly, because our time is limited, just sketch what we're all familiar with, the situation at the time of Krishna's appearance. It's very stressful and intense side, and the sweet side I think I won't elaborate so much on because we have just read about this harmonious situation. The distressful condition, in a way, is anticipated in the Bhagavatam in an interesting way. The Bhagavatam really starts with the departure of Krishna. Krishna svadamo bhagate dharma jnana dibhisaha kalo nashta drishamesha puranarko aduno udita. That this Purana, this Sun Purana, this sun-like Purana has arisen in this age of Kali, after the departure of Krishna, along with Dharma and Jnana and so on, to his own abode. And the mention of Kali is my first point. Of course, we know that there is a kind of sandhi taking place, a shift of cosmic time from Dvapara to Kali Yuga. Lesser known, perhaps, to some of you, is that these names, not so much Satya, which has another name, Krita. Krita Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dvapara, and Kali. The words Krita, Treta, Dvapara, and Kali are also the names of the four numbers on dice. In traditional Indian dice that you throw for gambling, there are four sides, not six sides, because they are oblong. So the Krita number is the number four. That's the winning number. Treta means three. Dvapara means that side of the dice which has two numbers, two dots. And what is Kali going to be? Obviously, it's going to be the one, the losing number. So the time that we are concerned with is the time of shift from the next lowest to the lowest number in the throw of dice, which is associated with chance, but it's also associated with the changes of cosmic time. Also, Shakuni, the gambler who gambles, who plays dice with Yudhishthir. Shakuni represents, he is an embodiment of Dvapara Yuga. Duryodhana represents Kali Yuga. So the two of them together playing against Yudhishthir creates quite a difficult situation. And Yudhishthir represents what? Dharma. And what is his situation in this gambling match? He becomes completely divested of his identity. He loses his identity as Dharma. He loses all of his wealth, and he loses himself too. He gambles himself away. He gambles his wife away. He gambles his family, his whole everything. No more Dharma. So it's a very difficult situation toward the end of the Dvapara Yuga, that Dharma has become very confused. It is the time of Dharma Glani. Glani means, can mean exhaustion, the exhaustion of Dharma. So this is of course the situation in which Bhumi and the Devatas approach Lord Vishnu, and as we've heard yesterday evening, according to the Garga Samhita, Lord Vishnu sends them further on, namely to Goloka Vrindavan. They get the very great fortune of having this wonderful vision of Goloka Vrindavan, in which they are humbled to understand just how insignificant their little tiny universe is. And in this situation, they're able to approach Lord Krishna. Okay, something else is going on at this time. We are, again, all familiar. There is a marriage happening. It is a very joyful occasion. Vasudeva is marrying Devaki. And after the marriage, we don't hear so much detail of the marriage itself, but it's, after all, the event that immediately takes place thereafter that is important. what happens as Devaki is being driven home, accompanied on a chariot by her cousin. Sometimes it is said brother, because in India you say like that, cousin brother. Cousins, brothers, sisters, practically the same. Technically, they were cousins. In fact, Kamsa was the son or one son of Ugrasen. And the father of Devaki was Ugrasena's brother. So that was the relationship. So what happens as they're going along the road, out of the blue, we say in English, from the sky, comes this voice saying, "Ha ha, you fool. Just see, you're taking the person, the mother who is going to mother that person who is going to kill you. Her eighth child is going to kill you." And we know what Kamsa's response was. This response of Kamsa, in a sense, epitomizes the age, the time. It epitomizes the times. The times had become so stressful that what Kamsa does, namely to immediately pull out his sword, about to kill his own cousin sister, this epitomizes the situation. You had these avaricious, rapacious, these greedy, horrible kings, all fighting with each other for dominance. This was going on all over, at least North India, perhaps, well, all over the world, certainly, to some degree, but the history we get is from Northern India. So, this kind of sets the pace for what's going to go on from here. What we have read today is this nice contrast to the tensions that have been building over time and which are described most elaborately in the Mahabharata. And then we have this wonderful, you could say, interlude. If we imagine that this is a kind of musical performance, an interlude, there's a kind of a break and a very sweet, I don't know how else to describe it, but as an interlude when Krishna appears. But after Krishna's appearance, because after all, the threat is that he will be killed immediately, he is whisked away. Vasudev manages to find this head of the cowherd community, Nanda Maharaj, and some sort of agreement is made so that there is an exchange of babies, rather mysterious, and therefore we understand janma karma chame divyam evam yovedi tatvata. The appearance of the Lord is so mysterious, to understand it really tatvata not so easy. It's a bit mysterious. All of this was to bring Krishna to safety, but what sort of safety? In fact, Raja would be terrorized by Kamsa, who had been urged to send various monsters to Raja. One scholar of religion has written a book, Religion and Its Monsters. Because he makes the point, in every religious tradition you will find monsters. Well, we have no lack of monsters in our tradition of Krishna consciousness. Every day a new monster is sent by Kamsa to Braja to be dealt with by Lord Krishna, beginning with Putana, who is appearing initially not as a monster, but as a very nice lady. Mm. One after another, of course, these these demons, these monsters are taken care of by Krishna, and they're all liberated. And this becomes a source of great joy to the devotees who celebrate in the Bhagavatam. In fact, it is Putana specifically who is remembered, I believe it's by Uddhava in the third canto. Just see the mercy of the Lord. He even liberates this demoness and makes her his mother, or sees her as his mother. So wonderful is the Lord. I really don't have time to go on with this point about the acceleration of tensions, but we know the story, and the final denouement of the whole thing is the Battle of Kurukshetra. Everybody is killed in this battle except the Pandavas, and of course Krishna remains with them. And then the Bhagavatam begins with Kunti offering her prayers to Krishna, saying what? Saying, please let me be freed from my attachments to both sides of my family, because she was connected to both Krishna's side and the Pandavas. And she said, I want to be finished with all of these attachments, which are the source of all of these dualities which are keeping me in such distress all the time. And I simply want to allow my attachment to be like the Ganga, which flows toward the ocean. That I want as my benediction from you. Yeah. Right, so this is all happening on one side, and on the other side we have the wonderful soothing experience of Krishna appearing with sweetly rumbling clouds, thunder, and the moon, and the star Rohini, very auspicious, is here at this time. The ninth nakshatra, it's described, and so on and so forth. And what's important is that everyone's mind is peaceful in this verse that we read. It mentions the minds became peaceful, prasanna, joyful, prasanna. Brahmabhuta prasannatma. So everyone became very joyful in this situation. Manangsi asan prasannani sadunam asuradruham, it says. So in that situation, everyone's joyful. And in that situation, the residents of Vrindavan are all very joyful to experience the association of their protector, their Lord. Today is the day of Krishna's appearance, but there is a problem at the same time of the residents of Vrindavan in their being drowned in pools of ecstasy with Krishna's presence. They are constantly in distress that Krishna is also departing. Every day he goes out to herd the cows all day long. The gopis are pining for him. And these are very long days. And then, finally, they have this wonderful opportunity to dance with Krishna. And when they finally have this opportunity to dance with Krishna, what does Krishna do? He disappears. Yes. And then more pining and more searching for Krishna, searching, pining, anxiety, so much anxiety, but also so much remembering Krishna, imitating Krishna, becoming like Krishna, becoming almost Krishna in their absorption in Krishna. They actually experience union with Krishna, not merging with Krishna, but union with Krishna. And of course, other types of pools of ecstasy. We have no time to go in. I would suggest that two leelas are particularly doing this drowning business. Damodar Leela, when Krishna is is as very small, stealing butter, yogurt, and so on, distributing it to monkeys and friends, getting caught and getting butter smeared all over his face. This is drowning the residents of Vrindavan in pools of ecstasy to see Krishna with butter smeared all over his face. Ah, wah. Too much ecstasy is there. And the rasa dance when Krishna is there with his flute, but he disappears. And so it is said that the Lord steals, S-T-E-A-L, he steals the devotees' hearts. He steals butter, but he just steals, you know, the problem, butter is not a problem. Problem is, he is stealing our hearts. I saw you have in, I think I saw it in Köln, in the temple, someone has made a very nice little poster. Wanted, Krishna, for theft. Yeah. You know, like you have wanted poster for criminals. So there's a picture of Krishna, you know, mugshot of Krishna. Wanted. Krishna for stealing. What has he stolen? He has stolen our hearts. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada, to finish, my points, and then we'll proceed with Sachinandan Maharaj, makes the point in Bhagavad Gita in the 11th chapter that we want to become victorious in what he calls the struggle for material existence by becoming part of Krishna's plan. Today is a day for celebrating Krishna's appearance. We welcome Krishna. We welcome him into our hearts. We beg him to remain in our hearts, and we beg to become some little part of Krishna's plan. What is Krishna's plan? Krishna's plan is that Krishna consciousness be expanded in this world, in this age of Kali. And therefore, it is said by the gopis, Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kaviberiditam kalmashapaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam bhuvigrananti ye burida jana. Burida! And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so happy to hear this verse, he became overwhelmed with ecstasy. Munificence! Munificence! Burida! Those who are munificent, Tavakatam ritam, your nectarian katha, Krishna katha, has wonderful effects. It is freeing one from all sinfulness. It is all auspicious. It is, so many qualities are there. But finally, this point is there, buddhija. It is that which those who are munificent give to others. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavata. They do this with constantly, and they do it with great, with a great vow. Dridavata. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavata. Namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. They do this, Prabhupada translates nitya yukta as perpetually. Krishna appears perpetually. We talked about that yesterday also. So we are perpetually, we want to be perpetually, constantly engaged in the Lord's service. Shri Krishna Janmashtami Maha Mahotsava Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Avirbhava Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
So, Hare Krishna, I want to thank Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu very much for his wonderful lecture, which has gladdened our hearts and has brought very, very deep points out. I think you noticed how Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu drew our attention to this very interesting, almost a juxtaposition of moods, a very harmonious mood on one side, and then this real soul-wrenching intensity and so on. And I will continue on this point. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Do we just want to hear another historical story and smile about the beautiful Bhagavatam narration, or do we want to meditate about Krishna's appearance and what that could mean for our lives? And I believe we all are more amusement, we have enough, and it doesn't make us happy. We want change of heart, to be purified in spiritual life. And Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu very nicely put this tension in which Krishna seems to build up. He also spoke of the search poster. Wanted, Krishna! We want him! He has done a crime! He has taken our minds away from us. You will know in your life, Lord Krishna is known as the all-attractive Lord, who is known for attracting hearts. But before he can do that, he sends Balaram, who will take something else from us. That is our obstacles on the path of surrender to Krishna. The sweetness of Lord Krishna's flute can only be experienced when the plough of Lord Balaram has gone through our heart and pulled the weeds, the anattas, out of the heart. And how Krishna arranges these two functions of pulling out the weeds and taking out the obstacles from his devotees and then attracting them to his lila and his sweetness will always remain the secret of the Lord. It's very difficult to understand. In our human attempt to understand Lord Krishna's workings in our lives, we arrived, however, at a clue, a a clue in one of Srila Prabhupada's purports, and a clue in one of Srila Prabhupada's, let me say, or Srila Prabhupada's favorite verse, which he said it is his favorite one. And I want to follow this cue or hint in order to deeply meditate about Krishna, the supreme thief, on his appearance day, who takes away from us, even though we may be very attached to it still, the obstacles, the things which are keeping us away from surrender to him, and then who steals our hearts. Now, let me ask you, are you comfortable or are you tired? Should we maybe open the windows a little bit more for more oxygen? Yes, because you will be a little bit... there's one window. What is with this window? We will open it, okay. I know it is difficult when we are coming to a festival. Usually we sleep the night before a little less and we have traveled and then we are tired. I would suggest to some of you who experience this on an ongoing basis to just come maybe a day earlier to Goloka Dham, rest sufficiently, get acclimatized so that you are quite hearty and well when the festival comes and not stressed and mental. It's very good suggestion. It's a difficult subject. Oh, Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was, as he used to say, born in the family of pure Vaishnavas. And from his childhood on, he was taught to learn the Madanga. Srila Prabhupada went through a Grihastha ashram. And finally, one night, and I want to talk about this night, Prabhupada came to one of his god brothers. He said, "Give me sannyas. I can no longer bear this situation. Krishna has come so many times to me. He has burned away my factory. Krishna has sent my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, several times in my dream, with a danda, calling me, 'Come, get out of this. Come, preach.' I'm so afraid of this. But now I want to take sannyas." His god brother at that time told him, "I'm preaching here in Calcutta. Your family members will be very angry at me if I give you sannyas now in the night." Prabhupada was very intensely desiring to dedicate his life in Krishna's mission. He often used to quote throughout his life a verse, and he would sometimes quote it with tears in his eyes, a verse in which the Lord himself says that if he really loves a devotee, he will take away everything from him what binds him to this world. This is the real love of the Lord. Here is a verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Yasyaham Anugrinami Harishyatatanam Shanai Tadhodanam Tvajatyansya Svajana Dukaduk.
Gita. The personality of God had said, if I especially favor someone, I gradually take away his wealth. Then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. They give him up. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. Prabhupada would cry. Yes, Krishna had done this to him. He had taken away his factory. He had taken away so many things, so that at the end, Prabhupada said he totally went into another direction of his life. He went to Vrindavan, where he started another phase of his life. Srila Prabhupada speaks about this taking away quality of Lord Krishna. In one purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in this regard that the very word Hari means one who takes away. If one connects himself with Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord takes away all his miseries. And in the beginning, the Lord also superficially appears to take away all his material possessions, his reputation, his education, and beauty. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasyaham anugrinami harishyatad dhanam shanai. The Lord said to Maharaj Yudhishthira, the first installment of my mercy toward a devotee is that I take away all his possessions, especially his material opulence and his money. My dear devotees, do you want Krishna in this function in your life? Are you in the right movement? Have you celebrated the right birthday today? I'm sorry to shock you, but this lecture will soon become a harmonious lecture. Now we will intensely relish the difficult times in a different sense. We love what destroys us, like an alcoholic who loves his booze. Booze is a slang word from New York, Manhattan. It means his alcoholic intoxication. The conditioned soul is bound helplessly by his material attachments. Some of them are called here material wealth, reputation, education, and beauty. All these things appear very, very attractive to the materialist and the modern Hare Krishna. But from a spiritual perspective, these things bind us to the material existence. I would really request all of you to do a thought experiment where you leave the material circles in which you circulate, and go to the other side of reality. Go through the gate of death to the other side. And then look back on your life. What counts at that time? Does your money count? Does your reputation count? Does your fame... What is it? Beauty! Your smile. Does this count? The questions which are asked then, when you prepare for the journey to eternity, to the real life, when you leave the dream, is how much have you loved? How much have you cared for others, deeply cared for others? How much has your heart become pure of material attachments? This is counting. Beauty, education, reputation, and material possessions count only for a second. For the little flesh-like life, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called the fly-like life. This is what we call our allotted time of 20 years, of 50 years. Some of us live 70 years, 80 years, maybe 100 years, and so on. But this is nothing in comparison to eternity. So Lord Krishna has a way to enter into the lives of his devotee and to take away. First he will see, does the devotee really want me? Does the devotee really want Krishna consciousness, or is he just a mitläufer, someone who is on the boat but has not yet taken to the spirit of the spiritual life? So if a devotee really wishes Krishna, then Krishna will free him from his chains to material existence. Do you know how to bind an elephant? No, the elephant, when he's very young, he gets a chain on his foot. When he says just like this, so sweet, so nice, then the elephant grows bigger and bigger, bigger. When he is really big and strong, they just take a little rope to bind him like this, because he doesn't need a chain any longer. The chain is in his mind. He thinks, when he has this feeling in the leg, oh, I'm bound with an iron chain, I can't escape. There was a fire in an Indian zoo. Everyone escaped. The tigers, the giraffes, the monkey. I don't know if they have monkeys in the zoo. They have so many monkeys, no need to have them in the zoo. Everyone in the circus, except for the elephants, they all died. When an investigation was made by the insurance company, who had to pay money for the damage of the fire, they analyzed back that the big elephants had all been bound by a little rope like this, on some little plastic thing. He was the strongest, but he couldn't escape, because in his mind he was bound. This is the situation which the conditioned soul has in his material existence. He's so bound with the concept of trying to enjoy that what is not enjoyable. And the Vaishnava Acharyas have told about this. They have prayed, O Lord of my life, how shall I tell you my shameful story? I'm bound. There is no sin which I have not committed thousands of times and more. I have given up jewels to run after glass. Dhruva Maharaj describes his attachments like this. I mean, this is a prayer book. It has only a few prayers. I have four like this. And I can tell you, this much of the prayer books which I have is all about this subject matter. I'm bound. How could it happen that I could not see this? So, Lord Krishna, seeing his devotees in this world, will make arrangements if you really want it. And he will come to you as the best of all thieves, who knows gently how to steal your things away. Krishna does it gently. There is a prayer which I would like to chant with you on the auspicious appearance day. But before I do this, I must come. I want to come to one.
I remember once I was on a Harinam with Bhakti Bhushan Maharaj. It was the Kassler Kunstausstellung. Can it be Kassel is Kunstausstellung? Kunstausstellung, ne? An art exhibition. And we were sitting there with a Harinam party, and a very impressive crowd came, much bigger than what is today here in Jamashtami. And then Bhakti Bhushan Maharaj said, "It's go, 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 this is nothing for you. Don't stand here. This is dangerous for you. Go to the Kunstausstellung, the art exhibition. Don't stay. Don't make the mistake. We are dangerous. Leave, leave." More people came. That's what he wanted. And I asked him, "Maharaj, why have you said this? Usually we say it differently. Come, come, come." And he said he had read in the morning a verse. Actually, it's summarized in the Nectar of Devotion. And in that verse it says, don't go to Krishna. This is the gopis say. You will lose your heart in him, and he will take you from everything which is dear for you, so that you are only with him. It was one day, it was in New Jagannathpur in San Francisco. Prabhupada had selected as his favorite picture a picture of Lord Krishna standing and playing his flute in the moonlight. The river Yamuna is flowing by. I don't know if you know this picture. Krishna is there and he smiles so enchantingly. The river Yamuna flows by. He has a little helmet and a peacock feather. A very small flute like this. And he just smiles. The picture says Mulidara underneath. It's from Brijbasi picture store. So Prabhupada took this picture and held it up like this to the devotees. And then he quoted a verse. Smeram vangitaya parichatam shachi vishtirna drishtim vangsinastarada kishalayam uchvalam chandrakena govindakyam haritanam ita keshi tirtopakante. Oh, it's not the right meter. Ma prakshishtastavayati sake bandhu sange strist. Sti Ranga, then he knew the devotees, if he would quote that verse, they would forget it. So he asked someone for a piece of paper, and he wrote down the translation to be put on the temple door so that the devotees could see it again. Then he read the verse aloud. Everyone listened as the pen scratched on the paper. Prabhupada had never done this. Held up a picture with beautiful smiling Krishna, looking so enchantingly in the moonlit night, and all. And now he wrote down of the verse, and he seemed to be important. And here's the verse. My dear friend, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, my dear friend, my dear friend Bhagavadama, my dear friend Matajis, we don't address like this, but my dear Matajis, if you still have an inclination to enjoy material life, society, friendship and love, then please do not see the boy named Govinda, who is standing in a three-curved way, smiling and skillfully playing on his flute, his lips brightened by the full moonshine. Then Prabhupada said, "Yamuna, can you write nicely?" He knew Yamuna Mataji was a trained calligrapher. It means a beautiful writer. And then he said, "Please
take this verse, put it under the picture, and everyone who comes in the temple should see this. My dear devotees, now comes the sweet part. This verse is a very good subject if we want to take the Janmashtami theme seriously. This verse actually tells us that Lord Krishna wants us in order to give us the highest pleasure. You know, sometimes when a child is playing in the mud and eating glue and gets some temporary brain damage high from this, then the parents will come, take the child out of the mud, take the glue away, bebe, they will say, take some rasagula, and so on. Then the child will scream in the beginning, but this is because he is not yet mature. He will scream. Later, he will understand, oh, my father and mother saved me. So out of the mercy, Hari takes away everything. But it's very nice. I would like to chant with you now these verses, and you will see how nice it is. You will actually become charmed and happy in your heart. Yes, please, I will chant the verse one time alone so that you get the melody. Braje prasiddham navanita choram gopangananam chadukula choram aneka janmajita papa choram choragraganyam purusham namami. Please. Braje prasiddham navanita choram gopangananam chadukula choram aneka janma jita papa choram chora graganyam purusham namami shiradikaya hridayasya choram navam buddhasya malakanti choram padashritanam chasamasta choram chora graganyam purusham namami. Chora means thief. Akinchani kritya padashritam ya karoti bhikshum patigeha hinam kena pyaho bishanam chora idrik drishta shrutuvana jagatrayepi yadi anama piharat yashesham giri prasaram apipa barasim ashaya rupa nanu chora idrik drishta shrutuva namaya kadapi danam chamanam chatatendriyani pranangscha hritva mamasava eva palayase kutatito dayaura tvam bhakti dam nasi mayi niroda chindatsi gauram yamapasha bandham binatsi bhimam bhavapasha bandham chinatsi sarvasya samasta bandham naivatmano bhakta kritam tu bandham man manasi tamasarashi gore kara grihe duka maye nibadda labasya he chora hare chiraya svachora doshita me vadanda gara grihiva satsadari daye madiye mat bhakti pasha drita bandana nishalasan tvam krishna he prayala koti shatan tadepi savasya chora hridayam naimo jayami. In the first verses of this
beautiful prayer. Krishna's pastimes are described where he goes into the houses of his devotees to steal butter. Then more things are described. He steals garments, we hear. And finally, he steals sinful reactions from his devotees. We will go to the verse at the end. This is a little free translation. In another translation which I have, it is said that this Krishna is such a great thief, because only even if you may hear his name, already he has stolen something from you. Who is a big thief in Germany? The government. Taxes and all. I hope it's not too provocative. Tomorrow we have the government representatives, so today we can talk freely. But when we call SPD or something, it's not that all of a sudden no money is in our pockets. But when you call out Krishna's name, just his name, hey Krishna, hey Yadava, then your material attachments are stolen. Have you ever noted that when you are in a very intense kirtan, which goes on for a few hours, I hope we have time in the evening for that, then you sit in the corner of the room and you have no inclination to talk any longer. You don't know what to say. Sometimes devotees feel this is a strange experience for them, and then they laugh a little insecure. What happened? Something stolen. Your material concepts are stolen. This is what it says. When you chant very attentively, your material plans are stolen from you. I think we all know this. We go in a morning program and we are up till 10 o'clock engaged. It's very difficult to do things because you have another mindset. So, here. Oh, here it is, actually. Such a great thief. In the end of the first Spalte. Such a great thief. If one only hears his name, he takes away all their sinful reactions. I have never seen or heard of such a wonderful thief. I pay my obeisances to that supreme thief. Oh, great thief. You are stealing away all our assets, bank balance, money, land, property, prestige, fame, senses, mind, heart, and everything. You're running away. Where are you running? This takes now a sweet bend, the prayer. I will catch hold of you. Like Krishna Chaitanya said, want it, want it. Krishna, want it. Description, blue. You are such a great thief, but now you are caught. Ha ha. I will bind you with the rope of love. Where will you go now, great thief? Running away and taking everything, huh? You are bound up with this very strong rope of love. You cannot run away now. And then it said, Krishna, you may be very strong. You may be able to cut the rope of Lord Yamaraj by which he pulls every soul out of the body. You may cut that. You may cut material bondage, but you cannot cut this bondage of love. Now you are in bondage. I have bound you up. And so on. This is a very nice prayer. You can have it. It's a present for you. Those who do not like this,
for whom this is a little intense, you can put it discreetly that no one sees your fallen state to the side. And so on. Very good prayer. Very necessary prayer. We are a spiritual movement, my dear devotees. Spiritual movement means Krishna is in the center. We want to please Him. We want to become natural. We want to become authentic lovers of Krishna. We wish to become real devotees of the Lord. Today on this Jamashtami, let us remember Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu's mind-stirring and heart-stirring lecture, where He told us Krishna goes away from His devotees. Absence in so many things. He has written even a scholarly article about the Lord's absence. How the Lord does all this to bring us to our senses, to wake us up, so that we can understand the real benefit, which does not lie in the world of birth and death, in some material position and possessions and so on. The real benefit, the real home lies in the deep satisfaction of the heart. And the deep satisfaction of the heart will not come by money and by fame. It will come when you have love in your heart. The human being psychologically wants only two things. He wants to love and be loved. And he wants to carry this psychological function into the most ecstatic embrace, which is the embrace of the Lord. Even Jean-Paul Sartre saw this. He said, it seems the human being is cursed to be a searcher for God. He was an atheist, therefore he expressed it negatively. But we as devotees should understand, we want this loving embrace of Lord Krishna very much, because we want satisfaction in our heart. One time, a devotee friend of mine was asked, where is your home? This devotee friend is traveling all over the world preaching. And he said, it's very difficult for me to say. Then he answered, after deep thought, it's where my heart is satisfied. There is my home. And this home, where the heart finally is satisfied, is with Krishna. There's a God-shaped vacuum in our heart, which can only be filled by money. Doesn't sound right. Okay, again. There is a God-shaped vacuum in our heart, which can only be filled by prestige. Doesn't sound right. We intuitively feel we are much more intelligent than we act. There is a God-shaped vacuum in our heart. It can only be filled by beauty. No. There is a God-shaped vacuum in our heart, which can only be filled by God, by Krishna. Hare Krishna. This sounds, immediately the heart knows, right. This was the right answer. Hare Krishna. So now I will go back. My dear devotees, this was my only chance to preach to you a little bit. Please forgive me. I am impossible. I know I'm not lovable. I know all this. But I just feel so much, Prabhus. We don't have much time. I feel Krishna is pushing us from so many signs to become serious devotees. Our German Yatra situation teaches us we must become real, otherwise we lose so many things. I think the times teach us we must have the satisfaction in our heart. We can't, and therefore I'm talking like this. I've written a letter to Lord Krishna on this day. It's much more intense. If you want to read it, it will appear in the Sharanagati webpage. I will not read it here. Hare Krishna. So now we will look at the wristwatch. We are only a little late, not much. Are the deities ready to receive us? Almost. Almost, yes. So then we will all go. No, then I will make two announcements. Thank you. At least give me this piece of paper. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Krishna, the show. What was that? The show.
Hare Krishna. We have like.
No. Wait. Lord Krishna, the Shoura Graganya, the best of all thieves. Ki. Go Premanandi. Hari Haribo.